You might like to open your Bible. How's that? That's a starting point. To John chapter 11. Just a note, if the Lord doesn't come this afternoon, I don't know what to do in the evening because it says, no, what are we to do? And I don't know what to do with that. So you need a W. Would you add a W? N-O-W. Now, what are we to do? Now, what are we to do? That I might figure out. In John chapter 11, perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we're looking to you to deal with us according to your grace, according to your mercy, according to your glory and honor. So here we are. Think of the children downstairs and the babies and everyone else. God, you got to help us or else we're helpless. And so deal with our heads and our hearts even now. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we've reached chapter 11. And in the process, we find the Lord Jesus, because they're trying to kill him, crossed over the Jordan to the east side of the Jordan. That's this way. And in the process of that, he has a message from Martha and Mary that Lazarus is very, very sick, and she's looking to inform him, and thus he gets the message, and he will go cross back over the Jordan River and to Bethany, which is 1.72 miles from Jerusalem, and he'll cross over to Bethany where Martha and Mary and Lazarus live. Now, so he's going to do that. And in the process, there's less than 6 months left before his crucifixion. So it's real close. And in the process, he, as we shared together, he said in chapter 11, verse 4, that the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And we shared together in the miracles that God has chosen to put in the Gospel of John to point to the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. And this is the last one he's going to use before his crucifixion, which is the greatest and bestest of all. Now, so he's going to tell him something. He wants to teach him something. And that's the whole arrangement. So, in the light of that, as they go, we share together that the disciples, he stays, he hears the message on the other side of Jordan. He stays two more days. At the end of the third day, fourth day, he's going to start, going to cross the Jordan, not very far, over to Bethany. Now it is the fourth day. And in the process, the disciples are there with him. And remember now, in verse 7, then after the 2 days, that he said to his disciples, 11:7, let us go unto Judea again. Again, we've already just left there. Let us go again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? Are you going to go back over there? Knowing they're waiting, looking for you, waiting to get you. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light, in this world. So as you walk in the light and daylight and all of that, you have the sight darkness. Darkness eliminates sight and gives us many occasions to stumble because we can't see where we're going. We can't see what to do. We don't understand because there's no light. And so we're in trouble. So you've got to do things in the daylight, as it were. And we shared together as we did that in verse 10, but if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was making it very clear as we studied back then, and in the light of that, that his hour, there's so many hours in the day that you work. He is the light of the world, and in God's wonderful plan and purpose, he has all the hours in the light, in the will of God, to see without stumbling all the way until God is finished. God waits and God keeps until he is finished. And in the light, you want, having the Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father, the will of God, and to finish his work. So as long as I'm in the light and wanting and seeking to be a vessel to exercise the outworking of God's wonderful will, there's nothing anywhere. There's always, everything's going to work out according to God's will in the light. If I leave God, I get in the dark, and I miss the light, and I stumble. The Lord Jesus Christ said, are there not 12 hours in the day? I am going to go in the will of God to the cross. It is my hour. We share together that. But that hour hasn't come. It's close. Close, he will say, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we shared, not my will, but thy will be done. The hour has come, and I must fulfill its wonderful purpose and dying on the cross, etc. But you can't, no one's going to kill you, God. No one's going to do anything to interfere with the outworking of what you have in mind. No, not at all. So now, having said that to them, to encourage them, because they aren't interested in crossing over, they aren't interested in doing that. And thus we come to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, after he said an explanation of why you can safely cross the Jordan and not worry about getting killed. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. So here's the disciples listening, and they're listening very carefully, of course. And if Lazarus is sleeping, he's very sick, but apparently the sickness is not going to be unto death because he's sleeping and he's going to wake up. So that's a good thing. Isn't it a good thing? Sure it is. It's a good thing. So what are we doing crossing the Jordan? Verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. That's good. You sleep and you wake up. Isn't that good? What's wrong with that? What do we need to risk our lives for? What do we need to risk your life for? Verse 13. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Now, that's what they thought. They didn't understand. Lazarus was dead. That's when they brought the message. He's very sick. By the time they got the message, he died. He's been dead 4 days. So now he died. And so he has to help them. He makes simple things, as we shared about sleeping and death for the believer. Now, verse 14, he says it then, since you guys are still all mixed up. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them, plainly, clearly, making it very, very public, very clear, very much so you understand. Then he said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Do you understand? Lazarus is dead. Do you understand that? They're all listening. Lazarus, he isn't sleeping, he's dead. We're going to go across the Jordan, but he's dead. Now, and in the light of that, verse 15 we shared together, and I am glad for your sakes, the disciples, that I was not there. I'm glad I'm here and not there, to the intent, purpose, on the account of what? That you may believe. I want you to understand, all of this is to teach you to believe. Now, we shared together when we did all that, to remind ourselves about what? Jesus is over here in his physical, earthly, human body on the other side of the Jordan. Now, does he need to be over there where Lazarus is in Bethany? No. No, he doesn't. We're looking, he represents, he is God, and he represents all that God has in mind by way of God being God. So therefore, God, you understand, God doesn't, wherever I am, God is everywhere. And I'm here to show you, to help you understand, God is omnipresent everywhere. You don't need to have me go out as we shared. You don't need to have me walk in the water to your boat during the storm. You don't have to wake me up, in the boat because of the storm. Do you understand? God is. He always is. You need to trust him without having to run all over and find somebody or find something. And now we share that together so that they had to learn that. We have to learn it. That's why the resurrection, 40 days and 40 nights. For what? To play hide and seek. Hide and seek. God's here and then he isn't here. He's here, he isn't here. What's he helping them? Understand. Hey, I told you I'm not going to be, you're not going to see me anymore. I'm trying to help you understand. Even though you don't see me, I'm right there. That's what I want you to understand. Do you understand? You got to learn it. You got to learn. Because God's not distance. God is different. Different. Not a distance. You don't have a distance from God. You are different from God. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, so then he says, verse 15, nevertheless, even though he's dead, let us go unto him. So we're going to go unto him. So here we are. And we're going to go and cross the Jordan, and we're going to go and let us go unto him who's dead. We're going to see Lazarus dead. He's dead. He's buried. Already buried. We're going to see Lazarus who's dead. Oh. Now, so Thomas, verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, which means twin, unto his fellow disciples. Now, he isn't talking to the Lord. You have to think of Thomas. He turns around. Here's the disciples, the apostles. Here they are to be. Here they are, the disciples. And he says to them, not to the Lord, unto his disciples, let us go. Remember the end of verse 15. Jesus said, let us go to him who's dead. And Thomas is going to say to the disciples, let us go, not to him, let us go that, in order that, we may die with him. There's nothing we're going to do about Lazarus at all. It's too late to help Lazarus. Too late to go to the funeral. Too late. What are we going to do? What are we going to do over there? Bring sympathy after the fact to Martha and Mary, and put our lives in jeopardy. And it isn't our life in jeopardy that we're worried about. It's about your life, Lord, the end of verse 16, to die with him. It's your God. They're going to get you. That's what they're going to do. So here's Lazarus, here's Thomas. Thomas, with all of his human feeling and all the things, all the humans do, we look at life and we look at everything in our life and around our life, and we try to make a decision, and we do it. And some things, does it pay to stay on course? It does. And in this case, he has a commitment. He has a commitment to the Lord, And he's been there 3 years, little 3 years now. And 3 years with him, he's been everything. And he has served. And here he is there. And the Lord's going to cross. And he said, guys, what are we going to do? Who else are we going to go to? Where else are we going to go? Thus, having said that, now to get the next piece of information. God is everywhere. That's wonderful. Now in the process of going in the will of God, staying in the light, walking in the light, wanting God's will for your life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and wanting that, then you want to have that. Okay. Now, how is that going to work out? Thomas, will you help us? I will. Over, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 4. Now, what do you know about the disciples that we're told that they all ended up following the Lord? And here is a case in point. Matthew chapter 4, that's how they began their ministry, and in picking up in verse 19, 4 and 19 of Matthew. And he saith unto them, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They didn't tell anybody. They didn't go home and pack a suitcase. Peter didn't tell his wife. They just went. Whoops, off they go. Wow. Off they go. And they followed him. Dropped the net. Didn't even finish what they were doing. Dropped it down and went. And he never said it again. They followed him. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Wow, that's what they did. Now they did that 3 years ago. They did that. For 3 years they've been following him. Over, if you would, to chapter 11. Well, on your way to 11, stop at 10. Matthew chapter 10. What else did God tell them that they knew? Matthew chapter 10. Remember now, all the different problems out there, because they're bringing light into darkness. John 3, 19 and 20. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want any light. They hate the light. So it isn't going to be that they're going to be, he isn't going to receive. They aren't going to receive a good reception by the world. The world hates them. So now, what do we need to know, Lord? Well, in the midst of it, lots of hardship, difficulty, persecution. So Matthew chapter 10, picking up in verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And don't be afraid, fear not them which kill the body, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, Hades, or Sheol. That's what to worry about. Don't worry about what they can do. And they're gonna try to kill you. And they will. They will, some of you. No question. But don't be afraid. Why not? Because, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You're more valuable than a little bird, aren't you? Aren't you a little more valuable than a little bird? And he cares about little birds. And he cares about the hairs of your head. There's no question. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, how many people do you know that care about how many hairs are on top of your head? How many? A dozen? Do you know anyone that cares about how many hairs are on your head? Not even the hair doctor doesn't care. No one cares. Well, God does. God does. All right, chapter 11. Here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. He's going to lose his head, remember, to Herod. Herod's going to have his head cut off. And in the process, he's in prison. And he's concerned. Here I am. I was honoring, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and get saved. And he did all that. He did the right thing. And he ends up in prison. And thus, he sends his disciples to find out, am I on the right track? Are you the right one? Did I goof somehow? And thus, chapter 11, verse 3, he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Listen, I'm trying to give you, there's no one, I'm trying to tell you who I am and what I, God, you're trying to tell us that. I am. I'm doing everything. So watch, hundreds, we have no idea, not even a record, when people, 5,000 in front of them, boom, wow. How many? Oh, we have a little handful of things. And the books could not be written, John 20, 21, 20, if they filled everything. Thus, verse 6, Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. N-O-T, not offended in me. Don't stumble over me. Walk in the light and you shall not stumble. Don't, I'm God. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do what I'm doing. I have wonderful rhyme and reason, plan, purpose for your life. I'm able to take care of you, no matter who, what, when, where. Doesn't matter. Germs, disease, people, persons, places, problems, circumstances, situations. What are they? They're just little incidents along in the journey. Now, I want you to go. Don't be offended. If I let this happen, John, you're going to lose your head. But be of good cheer. You aren't going to lose your soul. Just your head. You don't need your head, by the way. Now, where you're going. Now, over, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 60. Matthew chapter 60. And our Lord is going to say again in verse 21, From that time forth, 16 and 21, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, be raised again the third day. Wow! I tell you what's going to happen. A, B, C, D. And they knew it. It wasn't a question you didn't know. You do. I told you. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. This isn't going to happen. In the light, I walk in the light. There's 12 hours in the day. But Peter, you don't want that. You don't want me to fulfill the will of God. You don't want to work out the wonderful purpose of your life. You don't want to do that. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're looking at it humanly. Thomas, that's what you're doing. You're missing God in this whole thing. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want you to go to the cross. I want you to follow me all the way, even to the cross. Hang on to that. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world, that's a lot, and lose his own soul? What happens if you own the whole country? What good's it going to do you? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You need to have your heart right with God. Not your situation. So now, here we are going down the corridor of time. Here's Thomas. Over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 1. What they knew, all this, all these things. After 3 years, you know, they weren't stupid about it, but all the information in the world is no good to you if you don't see it from God's point of view. You're trying to see it on AM frequency and not FM. And you're trying to understand life on earth, humanly, with all of its Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 12. Wow. It isn't going to come out. You can't come up. The pluses and the minuses, the profits, the loss, there's no way to win. We feel good and then we don't feel good. Things go good and they don't go good. Wow. There's no way to come out. No, we have to go. And God, you have to help us. And if we don't include you, God, we're going to miss out. Thomas and you guys, did you hear? He must go to Jerusalem and die. And they've been trying to kill him. And that's what they're going to do. But not until it's God's time and God's place on Calvary's cross. Chapter 7, John, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because, why not? Because the Jews sought to kill him. They're going to kill him. Chapter 8, you remember. Remember, they were all in through this. Chapter 8. And picking up again, if I can, verse 59, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Chapter 10. And in verse 39, remember that's preceding before he crossed the Jordan. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. So when you read chapter 11, verse 8, the end of the verse, Jesus, Jews of late sought to stone thee, thou goest, and goest thou thither again. They're there. You know what's going on. You know what's going on. There's no big deal about it. We know. Peter Thomas said, we're going to go across anyway and die. That's commitment. Courage. Wow. Wonderful. Matthew chapter 11. In the process. One other place as we do this that will help us. Over in, hold your finger, back over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And the end of chapter 6 may pick up a statement that was made by Peter in the light of the whole situation of feeding and all of that in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 67. After everyone's gone, here's all the disciples. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you going to go away? Are you going to leave? They don't understand. They want to get fed. And if you don't feed us, we're going. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We have no problem with who you are. You're the Messiah, Mashiach, Christ, the Anointed One. But we understand, as Jews, the Messiah has to be like a man. God can never be a man. God can never be a man. That was their hang-up. They couldn't understand. Born in Bethlehem of Judea, that's impossible for God. Wow. So now, here they are, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. That's Judas Iscariot. Now, back over to John chapter 11. In the light of that, keeping that in mind, so here's Thomas. Now, what do we know about Thomas quickly? Thomas, you're going to cross over. You're going to pay the price. And as you cross over, what do you know? Just think of your own life and people. He's going to cross over. All 12 of us are going to go across. And what are we all going to face? We're all going to face our master, the Lord, is going to be killed. And we're going to die with him, most likely. So a whole 3 years plus is one of uselessness, hopelessness. It was a wonderful person. There's no one like him. Of all the people that we should live for and serve, he is the one. No, we didn't do wrong. He's the right person. And we're going to honor him all the way across, even though it's death. Why not? We should die for him. Die because of him. What a wonderful thing that is of why we're on planet Earth in any way. So now, that's their attitude. And Thomas is just full of courage and commitment, loyalty, and so are the others. They're going to go. Even Judas in this case. And they're all going to go across. Now, what do you know? Well, what do you know about Thomas? And you might, I might as well have you look at it instead of saying it. Over, what are we going to, Thomas, you need something. You're trying to experience your life on earth. You're trying to enjoy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're trying to go down the corridor of time. Work, home, school, play, coming, going, easy, hard, much, little. You're going down the corridor of time. And that's all of that. And you're just going because you go. And you're going down, you're being carried there by the flow of history anyway, the clock and the calendar. You're being carried there down the corridor of time. So here we are going down, and in the process, what are we going to end up with? Nothing. It was a wonderful thing we did, but we ended up with nothing. Now, think of all the people in the world. Think of people in general, humans. And they're all pursuing something in some fashion. True? Whether you're 10 years old or 110, we're all pursuing something in some form or fashion. A cause. People are giving themselves to a cause, even to death, to a cause. Whatever it is, liberalism or something else. And whatever they're social, whatever they're after, for a cause. Yay, for a cause. A course of life, a course we're going down, and we're trying to follow a thing that's set out. This is what I do. They told me to do this, this, and this, to get this and have that, and to arrive at such and such a place. So I'm trying to follow the course to get down to the channel down there. A career, we need to have a career. We need to have a career, and wonderful, you give yourself to the career. We just had the very public display of Muhammad, is the boxer, and a thing with flowers on the road and everything. And bless his heart, you know, he boxed, you know, and did what he did. And he got his trophies. He has had his physical problems. And he got his trophies. And here he is. He died. Now, God has to take care of the rest of it. But here we are. Now, what did you do? Here's your career. You gave yourself to it. Sports, work, home, school, whatever it is. To even won a Nobel Prize. That's a wonderful thing. But now what happens? Where do you end up? What do you get? Nothing. You leave everything behind. We bring nothing in and what? And we take nothing out. Now, what did you gain? You did everything. Took your career, your course, your commitment. And you missed out. You walked in the dark. You should have been in the light. You had a wonderful opportunity. And all Thomas can see in the dark is death itself. That's all he can see. And in John 20, and all people are doing this. They've got their job and their families. That's a wonderful thing. What are you going to do, though? You got your family. They grow up and go off. What do you got? What do you got when you're done with your family? You don't own them. You don't own anybody. All you have is delegated authority for your children. You don't own anybody. People try to own people, control them, very much so. But you don't own anybody. So what do you got when you're all done? There's the grave. Now what? We've got all the thing that's left. But I'm not worried about what's left. I'm worried about what's ahead. Wouldn't you be? You know, make believe I had a wallet. I don't. Had my keys. Here's my keys. You got my keys? And the keys are precious because they open doors. Precious keys. Now, if I die, you can bury the keys with me, okay? Now, what good are the keys going to do me if I die? I don't know. What do you want me to do? Float around and open doors? I don't need any. By the way, if I could do that, I don't need keys anymore. I don't anymore. God. So what do we got? We got nothing. But it's reality. We don't want to look at reality. And Thomas, you guys, as sincere as can be, but you're going to end up, Thomas says, what's the sense when we're all done? We're going to die. It's useless, hopeless. Our whole course is left behind. And the world system, the Jews are trying to kill you. They're going to crucify you. The Jews aren't happy with God. They aren't happy with John the Baptist. They aren't happy with having good things. They aren't happy with you, God. So what did we do? What did we get? John chapter 20, I keep saying it to you. John 20, you remember, in verse 24. Thomas, one of his 12, called Didymus, that's him, was not with them when Jesus came after his resurrection on Sunday night. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side where the hole is, I will not believe. Now that's pretty dynamic. I'm going to get his hand, I'm going to thrust my hand into the hole in the side where the spear went in. Wow. And after 8 days, again, another Sunday night services. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And why did you say in John 11? I'm glad I didn't go. I'm not sad. I'm glad I didn't go for you guys. For what reason? To believe. The whole issue is you got to believe, not figure everything out. You have to understand a relationship and exercise it. That's what you do. Wow, that's your career. And it never ends. It never ends. There's nothing can interfere with it. They couldn't possibly do anything to interfere with your relationship with God in Christ. Your life in Christ is you can't, it's in, you're invincible. You can't get you. They could kill your body, but that's all. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. That's all they can do. Wow. And be not faithless. And on Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now he needed to say that in chapter 11, when they crossed the Jordan, before they did. He wasn't ready to say that. He knew the Bible and God, but he didn't know. How many people say, I know the Bible and God, but they don't know? And that's why it doesn't go anywhere. And after a while, you're going to be Thomas. Oh, well, I'm either going to be loyal and die like that, or I'm going to quit. Take your pick. You get tired of it. Wow, what's the use? That's because you aren't reaping the benefits. The benefits. You want the benefits. God, verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Here we are sitting here, and we've never had any of that privilege. We didn't have the privilege of thrusting our hand into his side. We didn't have our privilege of having him stand in front of us with his nail-pierced hands as a physical body. We don't. No, we don't. Is that what's important? No. What's important is that you understand the Lord Jesus Christ brought God in the flesh. Behold, the Word of God became flesh. Brought flesh, brought God, so we could understand And God, the Savior, to save us in the line of Adam from sin, He paid the price for the sin of the world. So what reason? So now that we could know Him, not know the physical body, to know God. To know God because of Him. That's what it's all about. And God, You are something else. So here we are, God, trying to figure it out. And God, it's about a person. It's You. So what are you worried about? What are you trying to live? I want to live the next day. Why don't you just enjoy a relationship that is timeless, never gets sick, never deteriorates, and is always wonderful? That is, what do you mean? God, You are always good, always gracious, always great. God, You never are ever less than who You are to us. Blessed are You, not having to put my hand in His side. Blessed are you that don't need to do that. You are blessed. Not Thomas is blessed. You're blessed. Wow. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the door. By any man enter in. If you don't go through the door, you don't get the benefits. It's all a pasture, wonderful pasture on the other side of the door. But if you don't go through the door and you don't get there, you never have anything. And Thomas, you guys need to what? You need to get saved. And that's why I'm going to the cross. You can hug me and love me and follow me and die. But that leaves you with nothing. I must die. When I die, you die. When I die, I live. When I live, you live. Now, over if you would please. John, in the light of time. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians can help us. And remember now, it isn't a question in following Him. Thomas, we're going to have fight and lose. No, you have already won if you're saved. You already have a wonderful personal relationship to Jesus Christ, thus to God, life. Wonderful life. It's called eternal life. John, say it another way, 1 John 5:12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you have the Son. Do you understand? That's a wonderful thing. Right now, here and now. You already won. You already won. You already do it. We gotta work it. No, I already have it. I already have what? Life. What am I going to get? I go get a prize and do something and work, homeschool, play, and get another job, have what I have? What have I got? Another activity. And that activity stays. My life is mine forever. And it's all about my life. It isn't about my job. It isn't about my marriage. It isn't about my children. It isn't about all of that. It's about a unique relationship to God that gives you the advantage in every way in your earthly existence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined where? 4, 6. In our hearts. To what? To give the light, that's what darkness needs, light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I do need to understand the wonderment of this whole thing. Where am I going to find it? In the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so why couldn't we just have some kind of, well, we on a piece of wood, see, I can hit the wood like this, boom, boom, and it isn't, wood doesn't care. You hit my hand with a hammer, whoo, I yell, whoo, I'm frail, earthen, clay. God, that you did. You made us of the dust of the ground. So God, here we are. We have this vessel, treasure in earthen vessels, that purpose, the excellency of the power, may not be of the dust, but of the God who created us, the soul and spirit that we have within us. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We had trouble on every side, and yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. No matter how you cut the cookie, Thomas, you're a winner, whether you cross the Jordan or you don't. Whether they crucify you, like Nero did with the 6,000 in an Appian way or whatever. Wow. No, you already won. You don't have to win, you won. Now, verse 10, if that's true, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That that life also of Jesus might be made manifest, public, clear, plain, in our body. So in other words, we're going to understand we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not we, I, but Christ liveth in us. We have a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God, and we know Him. How far do we have to go to get to God? Nowhere. What do we have to do? Not like we did 911. 911? The world's going to call 911, like in Jeremiah. We don't have to call 911. We are 911. We have a wonderful God and Savior. We belong to Him. He's my Father, Abba Father. I don't have to go anywhere. Wow. And so Christ crucified, took me to the cross, paid the price for my sin, and thus, verse 11, for which we live, always we live, are always delivered, which we live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So here we are in this fumbling body of ours, and in the process, what are we looking? We have a wonderful Savior, and we have a wonderful hope. We aren't hopeless, and it isn't useless. The hope, when you get out of bed, it's wonderfully purposeful. When you go to bed, it's purposeful. When just breathing the air is purposeful. God, we have a relationship to You in this body. And when we stop breathing, we keep that relationship, and we don't need the body. But right now, we do. And therefore, we're going to work out, you're going to work out, all the wonderful things in our life. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. You're going to be a testimony to others. They're going to say, wherein do you have this life? In the person of Jesus Christ, whom you need to receive as your Savior. You need to know Him. And God, in Philippians, in closing, remember, God, work out, Philippians 2:12, work out your own, O-W-N, work out your own personal salvation. You have to be saved. Now, we're outworking in the light. There's so many 12 hours in a day. God's wonderful plan for your life. We are His workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, and for you to do what you're going to do and to show the wonderful grace in work, home, school, play, whatever we do, and we're going to show God your wonderful grace that You've saved us and left us in the world to be a little light that men and women, boys and girls might consider in the darkness. There is a light. There is a rightness. And it isn't useless getting out of bed and going to bed and work and school and achieving. All of that, all of those hours and hours and days and years are wonderful. But they're not going to be profitable if you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then all of those years disappear, because they aren't going to go anywhere. But you are. Into His presence. Wow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God, here we are. Thomas, loyal, courageous, courage, commitment. Wonderful. You're doing to the right one, Thomas. You aren't going to make a mistake there. Hang in there. You're the right person. You just need to go further. You just haven't gone far enough, Thomas. You got to learn some more. So don't get discouraged. And we're going to cross the Jordan anyway. And we're going to go to the people that lost their loved one. Now we're going to go there, And I want you to know it's an exercise for you. I want you to learn well. So when you go, exercise yourself and understand, I'm going to work out everything inch by inch for your lives and for our lives. Here we are, God. So you've got to do that which you can do, and no one else is going to do it for us. You ought. So you're going to work it out. Philippians 1:6, you began a good work, you're going to finish it. God, that's what I want. I want you to finish it. I want you to finish it. Wow. That's what I want. And like it is said in the New Testament, Paul said it, they're going to say it in the tribulation. We loved not our lives unto death. We didn't count our physical existence. It has to be some. No, our physical existence was not important. Our internal existence. That's important. Be serious. Oh, no. Take everything lighter except your relationship to God. Don't make anything too important in life. Work, home, school, marriage, come going. What to make important is your relationship to God. All the rest of it will work out. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, just help us in all of these things as we try to get an understanding of them, and God, to reap the wonderful benefits. So deal with our heads and our hearts, our hopes, our fears, our foolishness. God, help us in all of it. And God, may we be the one benefited in your grace and by your mercy, God. So do with us as you wish. Help us very much to truly, truly understand. God, it isn't just you have created us and given us an existence forever in order that our existence might have a wonderful relationship to you that's called eternal life. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. And you might like to turn in your little yellow book there.